No, you're not feeling it. Okay. One of these days you're going to come in here, you're going to be dancing and singing and all that good stuff. Yeah. Then they're going to think, then they're going to call us the freaks on the hill. That's what they're going to do. Now, there is joy in the house of the Lord. But hey, as I was thinking and preparing this week, why is this sanctuary called the house of the Lord? You know, a church sanctuary is considered to be the house of the Lord because it is a consecrated space designed for worship and the tangible presence of God among believers. You see, a church sanctuary functions as a sacred, set-apart area for prayer, for the proclamation of Scripture, and the gathering of the community to experience God's grace and holiness. You see, church, the earthly sanctuary is biblical. You see, in the Old Testament, God commanded a sanctuary to be built so He could dwell among His people. Now, these places were called tabernacles or temples. You see, the earthly sanctuary would serve as a place where the divine presence of God is recognized and respected, offering a sanctuary or refuge, you might say, that is apart from the world. It being set apart from the world, it allows the faithful follower of Jesus Christ to encounter God without all the distractions. Exodus 3, 5, and 6 says this, "Do not come any closer," God said. "Take off your sandals, for the place where you are standing is holy ground." Then He said, "I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob." At this, Moses hid his face because he was afraid to look at God. The earthly sanctuary is where believers gather together. The earthly sanctuary is made holy by the congregation. The living stones, the Bible says, or the spiritual temple, meeting together to worship God together. 1 Peter 2, 4 through 6 says this, "As you come to Him, the living stone, rejected by men but chosen by God and precious to Him, you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For in Scripture it says, 'See, I lay a stone in Zion, a chosen and precious cornerstone, and the one who trusts in Him will never be put to shame.'" So yes, the earthly church sanctuary is to be set apart from the world. Amen? It is. When we come into the earthly sanctuary that is set apart from the world, it should be that you're standing on holy ground. You see, and so also the earthly church sanctuary being set apart from the world, the believer is to be set apart from the world. Amen? You see, the earthly sanctuary should be a glimpse of heaven. That's what it should be. where God's ultimate reconciliation and restoration occurs. Yet, why does the earthly sanctuary look so earthly? I hear a lot of people say that the people make up the church rather than a building. That people are the temple of the Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians 6:19 through 20 says this: Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own. You were bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with your body. If the born-again believer is the temple of the Holy Spirit and the earthly sanctuary, though made of brick and mortar, is to be set apart as a place of worship for God, why does the earthly sanctuary look so worldly across the world today? This is what I've been hearing God share with me this week. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the church. That is a profound statement that Jesus makes throughout the churches in the book of Revelation. I want you to know, if the Holy Spirit is living in you, you will hear the words that I'm about ready to share with you this morning. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the church. Maybe the better question for us this morning is, why does the born-again believer look so worldly in the world today? It truly is the difference from being sealed by the Holy Spirit and being filled with the Holy Spirit. Church, it is good to be with you this morning. I'm very thankful for the message that God has shared with me this week. I'm sure this message is going to step on some toes. I'm sure this message might be hard for some to hear. But my prayer, as Jesus has been sharing with me this week, is this: He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the church. If the Holy Spirit is in you, you will hear these words. So let's dig in this morning. I want to read to you Ephesians chapter 1. 11 through 14 says this: In him we were also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will, in order that we, who were the first to hope in Christ, might be for the praise of his glory. And you also were included in Christ when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. Having believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit, guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession, to the praise of his glory. The first thing I want you to write down this morning is this: the sealing of the Holy Spirit. I want to talk to you about the sealing of the Holy Spirit. Church, when does the sealing of the Holy Spirit happen? Well, according to God's word, and that's what I'm standing on this morning. I'm not standing on some religious upbringing. I'm not standing on what some pastor says. I'm standing on the word of God in the book of Ephesians. And the sealing of the Holy Spirit occurs at the moment of salvation. At that moment. So you might ask, when does salvation happen? Well, salvation, according to the Word of God, happens when a person believes in the gospel or the good news of Jesus Christ. That's when salvation comes. Ephesians 1, 13 through 14. It says this, the disciples writing, right? And you also were included in Christ. Anybody here included in Christ? Amen. When were you included? Well, and you also were included in Christ when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, having believed, my friends, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession to the praise of His glory. Now, church, I know there are a lot of messages out there in our world. There's a lot of man's ideas about salvation. Hey, all you got to do is listen to about 20 pastors. You'll probably hear a lot of different messages, right? There are a lot of messages out in our world about man's idea of salvation and the work of the Holy Spirit. But I need you to hear this morning. God's word is clear on when salvation happens and when you are sealed with the Holy Spirit. It is clear that the moment that you hear and believe the good news of Jesus Christ, that is when you are saved. That is when you are sealed. Not after you've done anything else, church. No other work is required for salvation. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9, God's word. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith. And this not from yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. Grace is God's cadus, His gift, His endowment, signifying an unearned free gift of salvation. Salvation is not achieved through human merit or good works. There is nothing you can do to earn it. Nothing. Faith in Jesus Christ and His work on the cross and God raising Him from the dead is the means by which this gift is received. Romans 10, 8 through 10. But what does it say? The word is near you. It is in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith we are proclaiming. That if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you confess and are saved. Now, if anyone ever asks you, how do I become a Christian? These verses that I just read to you are the beautiful answer. Grace. Faith. It's a gift. Salvation is as close as your own mouth and your own heart. It's right there. It is right there. Church, this is not a complicated process. It is not a complicated process, though the Pharisees of our day today try to make it complicated. If you believe in your heart and profess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is the risen Lord, the Bible says you will be saved. Now, once you are truly saved, belief and not that, no doubt. Belief and no doubt the sealing of the Holy Spirit comes. Okay? It occurs instantly. It occurs instantly, not once you have done some other thing, not once you get dunked in water. The Holy Spirit, the sealing of the Holy Spirit comes immediately upon salvation. It says, having believed, you were marked in Him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit. Church, are you hearing the Word of God this morning? I know. I know the strongholds of religion in your life got a hold of you. You know what? Man has made salvation so complicated. And you know what happens? Is people try to do man's way, and they can't do it. And then they just flounder. They flounder. They don't realize the salvation that they have because man has said something else. Stop floundering. Let's start flourishing. If we're truly saved, the Holy Spirit has sealed us, right? It says, having believed, you were marked in Him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit. Church, we need to stop living in the lies of man and live in the victory of the awesome work of Jesus Christ and the sealing of the Holy Spirit in your life. Do you believe that this morning? Do you believe that your salvation is safe and secure because of Christ, not because of anything you do or don't do? I'm not convinced that you know. God's Word also reminds us in His Word, God's Word also reminds us that this is a permanent sealing. Okay? A permanent sealing. It is not a temporary mark that can be lost because you didn't do it. God did. It's also a sealing that is not contingent on whether or not you do something. Okay? All true believers are sealed with the Holy Spirit. So stop doubting your salvation, church. Stop doubting your salvation based on how you feel. God's Word never says that you should base your salvations on your feelings. We are to claim the salvation that Jesus has promised us and live in that victory. 1 John 5:13. I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God so that you may know that you have eternal life. Do you know you have eternal life this morning? Are you certain? The Bible says you should be. We are certain of our salvation, not because of anything we have done. That's the thing. The moment we take our eyes off of Jesus and we put it on ourselves when it comes to salvation, we're going to feel like we're... I mean, look, if you had to achieve what man says you needed to achieve for salvation, we're all going to hell. Because I'm pretty sure each and every one of us probably sin daily. And you can't put Jesus back on the cross every time. No, not at all. We are certain of our salvation, not because of anything we have done, but because of God's promise that He has given us eternal life through His Son, Jesus Christ. So, are we clear on the sealing of the Holy Spirit? Next, I want to share with you this. The filling of the Holy Spirit. There is a difference. There is a difference. Ephesians 5, 15 through 21, I want to share that. Be very careful then how you live. Not as unwise, but as wise. Making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. Speak to one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Sing and make music in your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. So what does it mean to be filled with the Holy Spirit? Well, being filled with the Holy Spirit is allowing the Holy Spirit to guide you, to control you, and to empower you in your daily life. You want to know why you sin as a believer? Because the Holy Spirit is not in control. The Holy Spirit's not in control of your life. You may be sealed, but you're not allowing, you're not being filled because you're not allowing the Holy Spirit to become greater and you to become less. You see, it is all about us being obedient to God and His Word. You have to be obedient to God and His Word. The only way this happens, I'm here to tell you, the only way this happens is through the work of the Holy Spirit in your life. The Bible says, look, take it up with God. The Bible says when you are saved, the Holy Spirit does what? Comes and lives in you. That's what God's Word says. That's not my word. That's God's Word. As soon as you believed, you were sealed. He comes to live in you. He comes to live in you. But this only happens, the filling only, and the obedience only happens through the work of the Holy Spirit. Let me give you an example. And this is a hot topic. This is a hot topic. And unfortunately, I see it, and it's a divider in our world. But here's one example is being baptized. Water baptism, right? Why do you get baptized? Why do you get baptized? Well, some will tell you that you need to be baptized to receive the Holy Spirit. And yet others will say, if you're not baptized, then you're going to hell. If you're not baptized, you're not saved. Catch this with me for just a moment. And again, he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the church. If I profess my need for Jesus, and I recognize that He is the Savior of the world, and I believe God raised Jesus from the dead, and then I say, now in order to be saved, I have to be baptized by some man in a lake. Am I not stating that works is required for salvation? Am I not stating that? That's exactly what I'm saying. Because if believing in Jesus isn't enough, then it must be works. And if it's works, I might add, I don't care where you're at. If your salvation is based on your works this morning, you're going to hell. But my salvation isn't based on my works. My salvation is based on Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world. Yeah, I have this big old flesh problem that I carry around with me until the day I die. But when I die, I'm going to be with Him. Not because of the life that I lived or some act that I did. It's going to be because I recognized my need for Jesus Christ, and I believe that He is the one that God sent. That He died on that cross and He walked out of that grave because God took Him out of there. He was seen by thousands of people so that I would believe. He is the only way I'm getting to heaven. So are we saved by works or are we saved by grace? God's word clearly says, for it is grace you have been saved through faith. Through faith. Key, faith. And this not from yourselves, it is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. At that moment, the Holy Spirit comes and seals you. You have already been baptized with the sealing of the Holy Spirit when you believed in Jesus Christ as Savior. The Holy Spirit goes on to work in the believer's heart, and prompts them to do what? To be baptized. To show the world, I am following Jesus. That's what baptism is. Baptism is in obedience to the work Jesus already started in me when he saved me. Right? I mean, it's clear in Scripture. I am a child of God. The Holy Spirit goes to work in my heart. He prompts me to be baptized to show the world that, hey, there's been a change of existence in my life. I am now a child of God. And nobody can take that away from me. Not at all. The only reason someone should be baptized or get baptized is in obedience to the salvation they've already received. Look, I've had people come and them come into my office and they're like, Pastor, I need you to take me down to that lake and get me saved. And I'm like, do you know Jesus? No, this isn't about Jesus. It's about me going down to the lake and you dunking me as a man of God and baptizing me so I can be saved. And I'm like, hey, brother, I can go down there and dunk you 100 times, and if you don't recognize Jesus, you're no more saved than you were when you walked in this office. Salvation is in Christ. No water's going to save you. No works is going to save you. No nothing. But Jesus is going to save you from hell. Think about this. And you go, well, maybe that's just John's words. No, it's not my words. I'm standing on the Word of God. Let's think about the account of Philip and the Ethiopian, right? Think about it. The Holy Spirit led Philip to go and stand by the Ethiopian's chariot, right? Philip heard the Ethiopian reading the book of Isaiah. Philip engages the Ethiopian and shared the good news with him. Hey, let me help you. Acts 8, 34 through 38. The eunuch asked Philip, tell me please, who is this prophet talking about? Himself or someone else? Then Philip began with that very passage of Scripture and told him the good news about Jesus. As they traveled along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, look, here is water. Why shouldn't I be baptized? Catch this. Philip said, if you believe with all your heart, you may. The eunuch answered, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he gave orders to stop the chariot. Then both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. Baptism was a response to Jesus, the salvation, right? You have been saved, baptized with the Holy Spirit who prompts you, right? Prompts you to be baptized, to show the world. Matthew 3:11. I baptize with water for repentance, but after me will come one who is more powerful than I, whose sandals I am not fit to carry. He will baptize you with what? The Holy Spirit and with fire. You know, I get to thinking about this water baptism, and I think about where the people were in the Old Testament. What were they doing in the Old Testament? They were sacrificing, right? They were sacrificing to be right with God. Something, and then all of a sudden God went silent for 400 years. I don't think he was silent. I just think society decided not to listen to him anymore. But then all of a sudden there's no temple left. There's nothing to do. And John the Baptist was filled with the Spirit from birth. John the Baptist was. John the Baptist, there's no, there history books, there's not in the Bible. Nowhere are you going to see John the Baptist was baptized with water to receive the Holy Spirit. It's not there. No, John the Baptist was filled with the Spirit, as God's Word says. God's Word says. He was filled with the Spirit from it while he was in the mother's womb. And God had a plan for his life to pave the way for salvation. For Jesus, right? The one who's, he wasn't fit to even hold his sandals. He would baptize you with the Holy Spirit. See, here's the thing, church. And I need you to hear this because it's such a hot topic. And some of you may be thinking right now, well, he's just totally discrediting water baptism. That's not at all what I'm saying. I'm just saying water baptism doesn't save you. It does not. Water baptism does not save you. It is not a requirement to be saved. However, in obedience to the Holy Spirit who is living in you, right? You get baptized to show the world that you are now following Jesus, that Jesus is your new identity. All your works, there should be evidence all the time, right? There should be evidence all the time. The evidence isn't required. The evidence is a result of truly being saved. Look, if the Holy Spirit's living in you, I get it. We have bad days where we don't listen to the Holy Spirit, but he's still there. He must become greater. I must become less, right? You need to be in the Word. You need to ask. You need to surrender. You need to allow the Holy Spirit that God put in you to actually lead you and control you. You wonder why you struggle with the sin that you do. It's because there's a whole lot more of you and a whole lot less of him. There is. How about looking at Paul's conversion? He was met by Jesus on the road to Damascus, right? He was brought to his knees by the Lord Jesus. He was blinded by the Lord Jesus. He had to make a decision. Stay blind, dead in his sins, or follow Jesus. Saul, who we know as Paul, right, went exactly where the Lord told him to go. And then what happened next? Let me read it to you. Acts chapter 9, 17 through 19. Then Ananias went to the house and entered it. Placing his hands on Saul, he said, "Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you were coming here, has sent me so that you may see again and be filled with the Holy Spirit." Immediately, something like scales fell from Saul's eyes and he could see again. He got up and was baptized. And after taking some food, he regained his strength. Again, baptism was a response to his salvation. You see, the Holy Spirit comes to live inside of Paul at belief and then prompts him from there. He prompts him. Not only that, Saul, who is now Paul, went off the grid for 3 years, hung out with good other brothers in the faith, right? 3 years before he came back and actually made what makes up most of the New Testament, went back and ministered to the same people that he once persecuted, that he killed. You see, again, the Holy Spirit is living in you at conversion. But what does it mean to be filled by the Spirit? I mean, he is already living in the newly converted believer. here's the thing. In order for us to be filled with the Holy Spirit, we have to surrender to the Holy Spirit's leading in our lives. He's there. Church, He's there. I can back that up over and over and over again through God's Word. If you are truly saved, the Holy Spirit is there. So why aren't you living the way He wants you to live? Well, it's because we need to be filled with more of Him and less of us. Am I just talking to myself this morning? Or is anybody hearing me? You wonder why you struggle when the Holy Spirit's living in you. Because you have to be filled. And in order to be filled, you have to surrender. You have to allow. You have to allow the Holy Spirit to lead you and guide you and show you and help you. You got an addiction? You know what you do? Help me, God. Help me. Help me, Holy Spirit. Help me. You know what? I had an addiction whenever I was saved. And God took it away like that. Bam! It was gone. I didn't have to go get some patch. I didn't have to go get anything. I just needed to surrender to the Holy Spirit. And you know what? You lived, and anybody who's struggling with anything right now, you lived with the lie of the enemy that says, you know what? You can't never be perfect. You can't never be perfect. You ain't until the day you die. No, that's not true. I get it. Perfection will happen when I meet Jesus face to face, and I will always struggle with the flesh. I will always struggle with sin. But it should get less and less as I let Him become more and me to become less. When I let the Holy Spirit guide and direct my every thought, my every decision, then I can actually live a life that's pleasing to Him. We have to allow the Holy Spirit to guide us, to control us, and empower us in our daily lives. He must become greater, I must become less. Look, it's one of the smallest scriptures, John 3:30. It should be memorized. In all honesty, when you get up in the morning, that's what you should say. He must become greater, I must become less. God, use me. But you might be asking this morning, what is the purpose of this feeling, right? Well, if I'm sealed, because this is what it is. If I'm sealed, then that's just good enough, right? I mean, if I'm truly recognized who Jesus is, then all I need to do is be sealed, and that's enough. I mean, it's guaranteeing, it's a deposit. He is a deposit guaranteeing that I make it there, that I make it. Again, not anything you're going to do, everything that He does. He does it. Do you believe that this morning? Because when you believe it, it changes your life. It changes how you live. So what is the purpose of this filling? Well, it's to empower the believer for the new life. When you were saved, you realize you were given a new life, right? His name's the Holy Spirit that comes to live in you, to help you live the life that's pleasing to God. So the Holy Spirit empowers the believer for the new life that you now have. To empower the believer for holy living and for service to God. To live in the world, but not of the world. You hear that saying all the time, right? Well, you know what, Christians, you're supposed to be in the world, but not of the world. Well, how does that happen? How does it happen? How can my life glorify God out in the world? By being filled with the Holy Spirit. And you might be asking, when does the filling of the Holy Spirit happen? When does it happen? Church, I am here to tell you that the filling of the Holy Spirit is continuous. Okay? It's continuous because He lives in you. But being filled is totally contingent on you. It's contingent on you and whether or not you allow yourself to be filled. You see, actually, as I've been studying, I believe it is a command for us to be filled with the Holy Spirit. It is a command for us to be filled with the Holy Spirit, and it is not a one-time event. You know, I just have a different stance than years ago. I was the guy that would stand up here before you and say, yeah, you know what, every day you go out, I'd have a cup of water that represented the Holy Spirit, and you go through all these things, people attacking you, all this stuff that you go through, and the Holy Spirit, you know, it gets poured out of you. And then the next morning, well, by golly, if I want to be filled with the Holy Spirit, I had to get up and I had to ask Him to fill me. I don't have to ask Him to fill me. He's already there. What I have to do is surrender my life to Him. He's there. Do you believe that this morning? That He's living in you. That the life that you're living, you don't have to live unless you choose to live. That's it. The struggles you struggle with, you choose to struggle with. You do. Because you don't surrender those struggles to the work of the Holy Spirit in your life. The filling of the Holy Spirit is continuous because He lives in you. But being filled is totally contingent on you and whether or not you will allow yourself to be filled, right? I want to go to this command, Ephesians 5:18. It says, do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. Do you want to be filled with the world, which is temporary and is a moment by moment filling, almost looking for the next thing to be happy, happy, happy? Or do you want to be filled with the Holy Spirit, which produces lasting joy no matter what is going on in your life or in the world around us? Whether you like it or not, church, being filled with the Holy Spirit is conditional. It is conditional. It depends on surrender, and it depends on obedience to God. The result of this surrender and obedience is that the Holy Spirit becomes the leader of your life. And when the Holy Spirit becomes the leader of your life, He produces in us things like love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, self-control. He also produces in us a heart that wants to serve both God and His church everywhere we go. You can really see this played out in the life of a believer, right? Can you tell when someone is filled? I mean, being filled with the Spirit comes from a continuous, everyday submission to the Holy Spirit's influence and control in your life. You see, from church, from the time you were saved, the Holy Spirit came to live in you. I don't think we need to be concerned. Catch this. I don't think we need to be concerned with how much of the Holy Spirit we have. Rather, how much does the Holy Spirit have of us? You see, the Holy Spirit will equip you for every good work in Christ Jesus. That's what His Word says. Church, you have one job. You have one job for that equipping to happen. One job. If you want to love the way Jesus loves, if you want to love your neighbor as yourself, you want to love God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength, you have one job. You have one job, and that is to submit yourself daily to the Holy Spirit's leading and draw constantly on His power. That's what it'll take. Hebrews 13:20 and 21. May the God of peace, who through the blood of the eternal covenant brought back from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, equip you with every good work, good for doing his will, and may he work in us what is pleasing to him. Through Jesus Christ, to him be the glory forever and ever. Amen. So let me just wrap this up this morning. The next thing, last thing I have you write down is the sealing versus the filling. Because that's what this is. The sealing versus the filling. Now, there's a difference between being sealed and being filled with the Holy Spirit. I wanted to bring these up. Sealing equals God's work upon us. Upon us. The filling is God's work within us. The sealing is a legal seal of ownership. Filling is a personal control of a life. Sealing of the Holy Spirit is once and done for all time. When you were saved, the Holy Spirit sealed you for the day of redemption, right? That's what the book of Ephesians says. And if you don't agree with that, then take it to God, because it's His word. Okay? And the filling is done many times. Many times. It's continuous as we surrender our lives to His work in us. So let me just give you three applicable thoughts to take home with you today. Number one, rest in your seal of the Holy Spirit. Rest in your seal of the Holy Spirit. Church, stop seeking a second experience. Stop seeking a second work in your life to prove that you belong to God. Claim it. Do you believe you're a child of God? Do you believe you're saved? Then claim it. Stop looking for something to do, or you know, just let God live through you. How about that? You're going to do it. That's what God's word says in John 15. Look, you stay connected to the vine, and your life will do, it will produce fruit. It will. You won't be able to help it. Number two, seek the filling of the Holy Spirit. Do you seek the filling of the Holy Spirit? You see, choose to actively submit your daily decisions, your emotions, and your actions to the Holy Spirit's control. He is living in you. That's what the Bible says. But the question becomes, does He have control of you? You can see it by the life that you live. And number three, do not grieve the Holy Spirit in your life. Church, live your life in a way that respects the Holy Spirit that is living in you. See, Ephesians 4:29 through 5:2. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. Be imitators of God, therefore, as dearly loved children, and live a life of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. When we do not live the way God has called us to live, we grieve the Holy Spirit living inside of us. Just so you understand, and we will understand this in the weeks ahead, grieving the Holy Spirit is not blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. Blasphemy being the unforgivable sin. if I'm a Christian and he's living in me, and the flesh, well, I'll just save that for another week. When we do not live the way God has called us to live, we grieve the Holy Spirit living inside of us. And the only way that we can live a life that is pleasing to God is by surrendering our lives, our day, our emotions, our decisions to the Holy Spirit living in us. Again, grieving the Holy Spirit is not the same as blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. Until next time, let's pray. Father, we come before you, and God, I thank you for your word. I thank you for the salvation that we share. God, it grieves me that people live this life shackled to the idea that we have to do something to gain that salvation. God, I pray that you will remove the shackles from us and that you would help us to walk in the freedom of your salvation. God, to continue to surrender our lives and our thoughts and our emotions to your, to the Holy Spirit that's living in us. God, you're an amazing God. And we thank you for Jesus. We thank you for the salvation that we share. God, help us to get better and better each day at surrendering our lives to you so that you can use us the way you choose to use us. And may our lives bring glory to your name. And it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.